I don't know why there were always glass bottles in my neighborhood, but, you know, thanks, litter bugs.
Yeah.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 46, and we will be jumping off of Stranger Things.
Yes.
And you started laughing in the middle of my introduction.
Usually, I will go to the Wikipedia page of whatever we're talking about.
Sorry.
For things.
I didn't give you enough prep time.
No, it wasn't that. And I just had it in my head. I'm like, we should call this episode Stranger Danger. And what did I type in? What did I type into my Google? Stranger Danger. And so I laughed.
And now that is in your search history.
Yes, now it's in my search history.
You can never undo that.
No, I cannot.
There are ways.
Google
to.
Knows I looked up Stranger Danger. So
Google knows that you're thinking about turning over your Donald Trump story to the media.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Stranger Things, a Netflix series, and we have said how much we love what Netflix is doing.
Yes.
Netflix series, it is probably the best one they've done yet.
Oh, by far.
Basically, this series is, if Steven Spielberg had made a Stephen King movie in the early 80s.
Yes.
It's been described as a mixture of Stand By Me and The X-Files. And that's accurate as well.
It is very accurate.
It hits, and you know, the whole point of this podcast is to, you know, bring up old things and bounce off of them. But this hits so many retro notes that it kind of
is a retro show, even though it isn't actually a retro
exactly.
show.
Exactly. It is made so well as a retro show that it feels like it should be an 80s television show, but at the same time it's so much prettier, and it does have 30 more years of storytelling history that it feeds off of as well.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, I don't remember, and I think you follow that kind of stuff a little more than I do. Was there a lot of like hype for this show before it came
out?
Okay, because I didn't hear a bit of it.
Yeah. Well, this thing, it was turned down by something like 15 networks. Okay. They pitched it to like 15 different networks, and with the pilot, or at least with the idea. I don't think they did a pilot. So, they pitched it to 10 or 15.
All the major networks.
Every network passed on it. Because they thought that this idea of a retro series with kids for adults.
So, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that it wound up on Netflix. But yeah, I heard nothing about this show before it came out.
No.
And then it just became this phenomenon. Like, all of a sudden, I've got friends that are like, I just spent the last 7 hours watching Stranger Things, and it's amazing.
It is. For so many of us that grew up in the 80s, it definitely hits growing up in the 80s. We rode our bikes everywhere. You know, we were left to go do whatever for all day. You know, this could not be a 2015 story.
Right. It was kind of the latchkey kid generation.
Exactly.
Where, you know, you and your friends kind of got on your bikes and went and did stuff.
Yeah. And if you allow your child to have that experience now, you'd be thrown in jail for neglect.
Right.
Which is horseshit.
I mean, but I can't tell you how many just days on end that me and my two or three best friends spent, like, behind my house growing up, there is a 10,000-acre state park.
Okay.
And so we would just get on our bikes and just go ride through the park. I mean, it was just open space. There was nobody ever there.
I mean, we had bikes.
Yeah.
We went places. We had, like, three neighborhoods in a row.
Yeah.
And we could cut through the yards and never hit a street. You know, well, you hit the street in the next neighborhood.
Right.
But you didn't have to hit the main road.
Right.
The main artery road between them. You could cut through yards, and, you know, we left in the morning, and the rule was, we actually had an old farm bell in the yard. And as long as we were close enough to hear the farm bell and come back for dinner, we were fine. And, you know, I remember going around and I don't know why there were all these glass bottles in the neighborhood, but going around the neighborhood collecting up the old glass bottles until I had enough and taking them down to please you and trading them in and getting my own glass bottle full of soda.
Right.
You know, but I don't know why there were always glass bottles in my neighborhood, but, you know, thanks, litter bugs.
Yeah. I got a lot of free soda off you guys.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, and I mean, and God, thinking about it, we should have died so many times growing up.
Well, the thing is,
I mean, like, not only, like, this was a state park behind my house, but it was a state park that was a former World War II military base.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so
unexploded ordnance.
Yes, there were, like, they closed the park down for about a year to go try to get out all the unexploded ordnances, which was a good 7 or 8 years after we started going back there and farting around.
And the thing is, yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Statistically, now is safer than it was then.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's just we hear about every minute little thing because the freaking internet and the news and everything blows things away. Yeah, the rise of
shock media and tragedy-based, you know, news programming has just made it to where, I mean, and that's, you know, that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, crime is so bad. No. Violent crime is down.
Yes.
Gun deaths are down.
Yes.
Gun reporting is way up.
Yeah. Now, granted, when we do a gun death, we do it right.
We do it right.
Yeah.
But
we take out a bunch of you motherfuckers.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's, you
but
know,
if we could get rid of that, then it'd be way down.
Right.
Yeah.
But it, all of that, you know, the world is safer. But reporting on bad stuff has increased exponentially.
Exactly.
Because of the 24-hour news cycle and whatever.
Because of headline news.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, CNN.
Fuckers.
God damn you, Ted Turner. Ted Turner, enemy of the program. Unless he wants to come on, then come on, Ted Turner.
Yeah,
Let's talk about the 90s Braves.
I don't see that ever happening.
No, no. I want to talk about the 90s Braves, WCW wrestling, and your steakhouse.
But right now, we want to talk about Stranger Things. And it kicks off with a D&D session, which is
near and dear to our hearts.
To our hearts. You know, we ended up talking about D&D last time, you know, coming from nothing at all related to it. but you see Will Byers goes through this decision-making process of, you know, do you throw the fireball or do you protect the party?
Which is something every wizard has, you know. Well, it's a conundrum that every wizard has faced.
Yeah. And instead of casting protection, he cast fireball, and he botches the roll.
Yeah.
But the game got broken up before that could be dealt with, so obviously the monster comes to life and comes and gets him.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's what happens.
That's how D&D works.
If you can't resolve it in-game.
Right. That's why D&D is the devil, and nobody should play it.
Which, in 1983, was a refrain amongst the churches.
Yeah, that was a prevailing attitude.
Yes.
Those and Ouija boards were going to summon all the demons.
Yes.
It's funny, because how did you discover the show?
I'm sure I saw somebody post it on
word of mouth,
the media. It popped up on my You Should Watch This on Netflix.
Okay.
I'm not sure which, if the chicken came first or the egg.
Right.
But yeah.
The Olympics are why we watch this.
Okay.
My wife and I have our usual shows in the summer that we watch. And it's American Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
And it's America's Got Talent. Because they're mindless they're mindless shows that we can both watch and just, you know, kill an hour, lay on the couch together and have some time.
Yep.
But the Olympics interrupted all that.
Yes.
So we were sitting here in the lurch going, crap, we have nothing to watch. So our Roku had died and we had just got a Fire Stick. Mm-hmm. And so we put the Fire Stick on the TV and I just went to Netflix and I had heard people say this show is great.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, we both like sci-fi. We both like sort of this horror thing. Let's give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched a couple episodes and it was,
You know,
it starts off a little slow.
It does take a little bit to get rolling. But
I usually, I'm a four episode guy. Like if you can catch me in four, I'll run with you.
And it gets you.
Yes. And so like we watched the first couple episodes. It was like, oh, this was okay. You know, we'll give it another shot. So we came back that next week when we had our kind of usual night delay on the couch and watch TV, and we were hooked. And now and we just absolutely adore the show.
Yeah. Barb's gone.
Yeah. And so now we're completely hooked on the show. But yeah, the Summer Olympics is the reason. If it weren't for the Summer Olympics, we probably would have never watched the show.
Actually, my wife ended up watching it before I did.
Okay.
Because, and I'm remembering now, because she started, she, you know, it was good enough for her where she started a Facebook group.
Right.
It, you know, a spoiler-full, you know, we can discuss this over here Facebook group. Which, you know, if anybody's watched it, I can invite people. But, so, so this Facebook group got added, but I had to watch it in its entirety to be allowed in.
Right.
Because it was spoilers. But, you know, and I managed to do it. It took me longer than it took her. So she, you know, got to discuss it with others first. Which, you know, unlike the Force Awakens, which, you know, you get in one sitting and you get to discuss it immediately.
Yeah. Then, and it, that was it. It took us about, what is it, 8 episodes?
I think it's like 12 or 13.
Oh.
Usually.
It took us about a month to get through it because it was so good that we only picked one night to watch TV.
Yeah.
And we liked this show so much that we were adding nights, days. We're let's throw an episode, Stranger Things. And so I think we powered through it in like 3 weeks. Yeah. And, but it was, and we tried to avoid spoilers and just enjoy it. And
right.
It was great.
And I think this particular show, people were much more, sensitive to the spoilers, than other shows have been. And I don't know if that's because
it was 8 episodes.
Okay. I was in the middle of looking that up. Okay. Yeah, but you know it brought back Winona Ryder as the mom, and she had heard from him forever.
I mean, yeah, she plays this crazy manic character so well,
and you know you see a mom whose child's gone, and she freaks out.
Yeah,
that's what happens. Yeah, but you know, and then she's saying stuff to the community, and the community is. Unlike what would happen in an 80s horror film, the community is actually looking at her like, she's freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Instead of just going along with the crazy. So it kind of had a little bit more real world than an 80s movie would have.
Right. Right. And it's... I don't know. I really enjoyed watching her sort of fall into madness as the, you know, first 6 or 7, you know, first 6 episodes really kind of went on. You could just see her, you know, go, and she was already kind of frazzled as a person. It was just sort of her character's personality.
Right.
And then, you know, it just sort of, she just sort of descended into just absolutely hack at the walls, crazy.
But at the same time, she had reason.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but she had reason, but it was reason that only she Hopper could figure out, you know. And so it was really good. I appreciated the acting part of it because it was so convincing. Because in a way you could go, yeah, I could see that, you know.
Yeah.
Tragedy does cause people to hallucinate and to see things and, you know, and just in this case really it happened to be real. Yeah. Yeah, and it is sort of that blurred line between is it reality, is she just seeing things, you know. Of course, being a sci-fi show, you just sort of assume that she wasn't just seeing things. But
because it showed it to you, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But, you know,
because we didn't learn anything from Fight Club.
No.
Those
no.
fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing. Why are we talking about Fight Club?
Shit. No, I can't be a member.
I know.
Oh. I was so looking forward to the next meeting. That doesn't occur. Ever. Anywhere.
Doesn't exist.
Yes. So, yeah, the entire series is full of these nods to different things. There's E.T. references. There's, you know, the Evil Dead poster in the background. There's just so many different references to different things in 1983.
Right.
And God, the music. That was great. The music is so well done.
The music is awesome. It's actually funny. My wife works first shift, gets up very early, mm-hmm. 4 a.m, usually while I'm still awake.
Mm-hmm.
And
usually while you're still at work.
Yeah, but it was on my day off.
Okay.
And so I'm up, but I'm not really I'm in that phase where I'm just sort of like, I just turned the TV off.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting ready to go to bed. Because usually we just tag out. You know, she leaves the bedroom and I go in. And I decided for once, like while we were watching the show, that I would play a little joke on her. And so I took out my copy of The Clash's Combat Rock that I have on record. And I put it in my record player in complete darkness in my room.
Nice.
And so as she's sort of groggily tying her running shoes to like get ready to go out for her morning run, I dropped it on Should I Stay or Should I Go? And just cranked it up and then just went like laid on the couch. And so it just starts blaring out. And she's like, what the fuck? And so I'm dying laughing and she's mad at me. But it was a good, you know.
Hello, Will. Yeah. Well, I guess they haven't released the soundtrack yet, but it's coming.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I think they've done like playlists on Spotify for it, but they're actually going to release
the proper soundtrack. That'll be good.
Because, you know, it was turned down by, you know, this wasn't expected to be anything.
Right. They didn't prepare for success.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, Netflix, they haven't really done a series like this.
No.
You know, this was their first sort of foray into horror-ish.
Well, I mean, but they're throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
And,
they've had some success with dramas.
And thankfully, this stuck. And maybe we'll see more stuff in this vein. Hopefully not copycat bullshit.
Yeah.
They have announced season 2. It's going to continue the storyline with the same characters. Maybe add some characters in. There was thoughts that it was going to go the American Horror Story route, where it's more of an anthology thing.
Right, where everything exists in the same universe.
Yeah, but each season stands alone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which I would have preferred.
I don't know.
Because
it may be the great debate with this show.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll have American Horror Story to compare it to.
Exactly.
You know, is it better to continue the storyline, or is it better to keep everything in the same universe, but separate?
They leave so many unanswered questions. It's not like they wrap everything up at the end of season one.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, there's the Upside Down and the Department of Energy and all these storylines that haven't been explored and
right. Oh, they've got a lot of rabbit holes they can jump down. So
and hopefully it doesn't. But I kind of fear that it's going to get too explainy, because part of the thrill of season one was like the thrill of the original Alien.
Right.
You don't know what it is.
Right.
You see it's stuff really from its point of view. Really.
Web, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, can they do an Aliens where, you know, the second Aliens, to be clear, because all they did was add Ness and can they do an Aliens and actually make it compelling and make it a worthwhile viewing, or do they do a, you know, Blair Witch 2?
Right. And see, that would be the thing where I would be curious to talk to the creator. Because, you know,
the Duffer Brothers.
Yeah, the Duffer Brothers. Because are you Breaking Bad, where the guy actually had everything written out?
Yeah.
Already. Before the show even, you know, aired. He sort of knew in advance where everything was going. Mm-hmm. Or because you got shot down so many times, did you not bother to really think past season one, where was that going to go? You know, you were just happy the project was going to get made. And I mean, I'm sure he would never admit, well, I never really planned for this. You know, but in his heart of hearts, did he really know where he was going to go after the episode 8? You know,
and okay, one thing that's really good about this show is that it has made people look into the source material and go back and watch things.
Yeah,
like there's an anime that's on Hulu called Elfin Lied,
mm-hmm.
which is it basically has Eleven breaking out of the facility. Is it, that it? Eleven is based on that character. It's like she's an anime, you know,
right.
little girl. So she's obviously naked, and she has psionic powers, and she breaks out of this freaking government facility yeah. and yeah, and it goes through, and she's killing all kinds of people, and it's hyper violent, but that is. And that is part of why it's L, is because yeah. it's Elfin Lied or Lied or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's one of the resources that I've gone back and watched because
right.
because of this show. And, you know, and I've people are like, you said it was like Stand By Me. I haven't seen Stand By Me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why haven't you watched Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Stand By so, you know, I've made $4 rental off Amazon for whoever still owns the rights to Stand By Me. You're somewhere, welcome, Will Wheaton, for yeah, that residual check.
Somewhere, yeah, Will yeah. Wheaton and Jerry O'Connell are getting like 48-cent checks because people are renting Stand By Me.
Yeah,
because
2 million people rented Stand By Me, so here's your 48 cents.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Not sure how movie residuals work, but I'm sure Will Wheaton's still getting nice residuals from The Next Generation, which still airs on TV.
There you go.
On top of his other stuff that he does.
Things still air on TV.
Yes. I'm not the last guy with satellite, I promise you.
Yeah, I know. It's the old ladies who still have AOL still are paying for a cable yeah. subscription. I mean, whether they watch it or not.
Yeah. It's, I mean, hell, it airs on BBC America.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice.
Sure.
I always catch the last 5 minutes before they would go into a new, like, episode of Top Gear.
Yeah. Well, I only made it about 2 episodes into my rewatch of Stranger Things for this episode because Luke Cage came out.
Right.
Season 9 of Doctor Who hit Amazon. So I couldn't.
You went off and did other stuff.
I was like, I've already watched this, but I need to prep for the episode, but Luke Cage is over here.
Yeah, and Luke Cage is good too.
Yeah, and I haven't finished it yet. And Doctor Who Season 9 came out, and I'm like, I can kind of watch that while the toddler's still semi-awake, so...
Yeah.
So, Luke Cage is for nights where Rowan goes down to sleep early enough, and I can sit up and watch it.
Right.
An hour.
Yes. I don't know. And that's the other thing, is what do you... Because the cast has been so universally praised and adored, the kids...
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's actually sad that Elle's character can't come back.
But they did kind of leave it open.
They left it a little open.
They left it a little open for Elle to come back. And the question is...
I would be afraid if she came back, though, that she would sort of become this kind of, like, Deus Ex Machina character.
Mm-hmm.
That would just, you know...
I mean, yeah, she won't come back until...
She's there just to get them out of trouble.
She won't come back until at least mid-season.
Yeah.
You know, that they're going to... And it may be, you know, the search for Spock, you know?
Right.
The search for Elle after she exploded.
Yeah.
But then there's the is the Demogorgon inextricably tied to Elle? Are they
right.
two sides of the same coin?
Right. You know? Are they, and that's the other, you know, are they the same person?
Yeah.
Is Elle the Demogorgon, but, you know.
Or is it a Harry Potter Voldemort
thing
where
yeah, where
they're just that
they're
tied
just
together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, and there is. I mean, you can explore a little more of the upside
I mean,
down.
There's
a lot of things you can.
And I'm running a Changeling game next year, which is called Dreamer Things, which is going to be loosely based off of it. Where,
nice, that'll be fun.
Yeah, they're going to be changelings who are held in a government facility and tested on, and they're building their powers, and eventually they'll get to the point where they're breaking out and getting out into the world. And so, yeah, it's basically loosely based on Stranger Things, but they are playing proto Elevens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's, I really hope that they can bring Elle's character back, or if not, bring the girl back as some other character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's not that hard to do. But when you are dealing with kids, there is that danger. Like, you have to produce quick.
Right.
Because these kids are going to grow up.
Yeah, and the thing is...
Especially at their age. The difference in how you look at 11 to 14 or 12 to 15, you know, is huge.
Well, apparently with Dustin, the kid with no front teeth, they couldn't have him redo his audio post in post.
Right.
Because his voice changed.
Oh, God.
Like, as they were rapping, his voice changed. So he couldn't go back and redub anything.
Right.
So they had to deal with what they had. So, yeah. So they've already run into that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it is. It's a problem in working with kids. And I mean, lots of shows have dealt with it. But in this show, when 3/4 of your cast are children, you know, that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah. And I don't know what season 2 is going to be like if Dustin's talking like this.
Yeah. What do you mean, guys? Bullshit. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's going to be interesting to see going forward. I mean, I want them to make a season 2 because I would hate for it to be another Firefly where we all just sit here after season 1. It's like, oh my God, you have to do more of this. Why haven't you? You know, so I'll at least give them the chance to run with the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they deserved it. They've completely deserved it. This was the 3rd most watched series in Netflix history.
Right. And if, I don't know if we go off of Netflix's track record for each individual property, because Daredevil season 2 was very well done.
Yes.
I
mean, they've done all their House of Cards seasons are good. Yeah. I'm a big House of Cards guy.
But I don't know if that's because they've kept complete hands off and let them do their thing, or if it's because they insist on the quality. But what they, you know, what they've bought into so far has been good in subsequent seasons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've, and I think they sort of have that luxury. You know, it's, especially when you make that kind of money, I'm sure that, you know, Stranger Things brought in Netflix a ton of cash.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they can just give you a good budget and just be like, okay, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I mean, I think they've earned a little along the leash.
I mean, it's not like they have to work out a distribution deal or anything like that. Right. It's all in-house.
It's all in-house. Do it. It's one-stop shop. Yeah. Which is, I mean, in a way, very beautiful because it's a very streamlined process. And I'm sure that saves a lot of money.
Well, and They've started moving to, they're doing Netflix original movies now, which are going to theaters, but also going to Netflix.
Yeah, we ran into that actually with Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Ron Howard directed Beatles documentary.
Okay.
That my father-in-law, who's a huge Beatles fan, like, I like the Beatles, he loves the Beatles, and it's one of those things where we all just sort of like, this makes Tex happy, so we...
We watch it.
Yeah, so we watch it. But he wanted to go see it in theaters, but because it was being released same day on Hulu, there was only, like, one theater in the whole state that was showing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's always limited release. Yeah. And that's the ones that they do it with. Most people aren't in the limited release areas.
Right.
And, honestly, most people don't go to the theater to watch documentaries anyway, so it's going to be a low-yield release.
Yeah, and I think it was one of those things where we're just going to release it so, you know, we can put it up in the Oscar nominees for Best Documentary.
Yeah,
and, you know, because so it has to have some sort of theatrical release.
Right,
and I think that's what they were really doing.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think probably the Netflix movies will be the same way.
Right, yeah.
You know, that way they're up for award consideration for everything. It's got a small theatrical release, but we're primarily putting it out there on Netflix.
Right.
So, I don't know. Have they announced a project for their first movie?
They already came out with their first movie. It came out earlier in the year. I don't remember what it was called.
It'll be interesting. Well, I mean, because to me, that'll be very interesting because movies' budgets are traditionally very expensive.
Yeah, but basically, they're declaring it a success and saying and pushing it out. Yeah, they're making it more widespread.
Right. Right. It's, and I mean, of course, they're never going to release an Avengers or anything with a $500 million budget. But it might be a good haven for, so you want to make a $5 million movie.
Right.
You know, so you want to, you know, small budget, you know, kind of thing. Like, kind of your art. If Netflix becomes a new art house cinema kind of thing,
well,
that's okay.
But at the same time, the Netflix-Disney deal goes into effect next year where they get the first run. They basically get the HBO time. For everything Disney,
as
they get the first run, so
that's
Star Wars and Marvel are going to come to Netflix first.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's huge actually for both.
Yeah,
because I mean that has been a complaint is that some of your big budget movies generally don't find Netflix.
Yeah, I mean you get your DVD /pay for it window,
right?
Pay for digital window. and then your HBO window, which is where that would be falling in.
Right. And then you've got kind of your Netflix. They might throw it out there.
Yeah.
They might.
But now, starting next year, they're getting that HBO window.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Not good for HBO.
Right.
But good for them.
Right.
Because, I mean, I would imagine that those movies are probably big sellers. I mean, HBO does a lot of their own original content, which is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting those Marvel movies, getting those Disney movies. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's easy blocks of time where you know you can get eyes on it.
Now, if we could just get them to actually do a digital release of Studio Ghibli stuff in the U.S. at all. I'll pay for the shit. Come on. I already own it on DVD. I will buy copies on digital. Come on, people. And we're at 30 minutes. We had listener Curtis suggested The Horde for next time.
The Horde.
Which will be well-timed for Halloween. So,
yeah. All right. I'm cool with that.
It's a horror movie. Apparently, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Hopefully it still is. And we'll jump off that next time. And you are?
I'm That Joe You Know on Twitter. I'm That Joe You Know on Instagram. I'm DJ You Know on Twitter. And one day I will figure that out.
Well, if we actually stayed on our 2-week schedule, it would help you remember.
You know, I was sick as hell. Like, I know. You can hear my coughing. Like, I'm still getting over being sick. I was a wreck last Thursday.
And I'm at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram, and you can listen to me talk to everyday people on Southern Friday Ambition, which you can find on Facebook or anywhere that you found this podcast. And we will talk at you next time.
This has been a Southern Geek podcast.